What's up, y'all? It's your girl Kenelia back for another episode of Black News, a podcast where we break down current events, hot topics, and local stories involving Black people. Now let's get into it. Now, I have not been watching ladies basketball, WNBA or NCAA. I have not been watching men's basketball either college or professional. I just ain't, you know, I ain't got it in me. I can't keep up, man. I got too much going on. But it sounds like this year everybody was locked in and I missed a good old time, specifically the NAACP. Y'all, the NCAA tournament and the women's side. I'm sorry. I can't. I'm sorry. Y'all. Okay. Regroup. The NCAA women's finals took place this past weekend, and LSU, Louisiana State University, won the title over the Iowa, I forget their mascot. It was something super like regular, like the Iowa Chickens. Y'all know what it is. I don't know what their mascot is, but LSU won. Now, according to stats, I saw something today where it says something like this was the most talked about sports event of the year. This was more watched or more anticipated or more talked about. It got more impressions than the men's finals. And I also saw people who were who watched the entire, you know, Sweet 16 all the way down to the Final Four and to the championship. People were saying that the women's tournament was way better than the men's this year. So that's great to hear, because we want to support women athletes. We want to support women's basketball. We always talk about how, we always hear people talk about how women basketball players aren't interesting and people don't want to watch the games, blah, 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 blah. But it sounds like they was out there hooping their ass off. So hopefully the tide has been turning. But in this particular instance, we're going to talk about Angel Reese and the conversation surrounding her. So Angel Reese is a basketball player who plays for LSU, a cute Black girl. She be out there hooping. If you have heard her name or been following social media before this, people will always associate her with, and I'm gonna do air quotes, being aggressive on the court. Basically though, she was just hooping. If you watch basketball, follow basketball, know some basketball players, whether they're men or women, they be out there hooping. Like, if you can play, you can play. That's just the game. People be what they call trash talking smack. Like, that's how you play. Some people are quiet, but if you out there, you a dog. Like, you gonna talk a little shit. But Angel has been categorized in a bad way and to be made this basketball villain because of the way that she plays the game. Because y'all know how it is, because of the patriarchy, people don't want women expressing themselves or having emotion. They just want you out there being cute and prancing around and being all fundamentals on the court. That ain't, we got those days are gone. Okay, these new girls basketball players, they out there and they coming with that energy. So what had happened was Caitlin Clark, who plays for Iowa, she is what I like to call the Larry Bird of the NCAA right now. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Now, while I was a little girl when Larry Bird was hooping, hell, I wasn't even born for the bulk of his career. I was born during the back end. I do know that while Larry Bird was a fantastic basketball player, fantastic, a lot of the hype was because he was a white boy that could play the game in a Black dominated sport. And the NBA back then wasn't even as Black as it gotten and as it is now. But he was like that, you know, the great white hope. Caitlin Clark, in my opinion, is similar to that. She is a great basketball player. Her teammates, other players, different teams respect her. I saw a video where one of the LSU players was waiting to meet her. She was like, "I just want to meet Caitlin. She be out there balling." Like, so she has the respect of her peers, rightfully so. They call her the girl Steph Curry. She be shooting from the half court line. Like, the girl got game. However, what we have noticed and what has been called out, Caitlin is known for trash talk and is known for having a mouth and being out there like taunting people and just talking big shit. But then in this case, when Angel and any of the LSU girls and also the South Carolina girls coached by Coach Dawn, when they do it, it's called ghetto or it's negative. So, perfect example. During the basketball game, at one point, Caitlin did the hand in front of the face. You can't see me or whatever that thing is called. Then, as the game goes on, Angel then did the same thing to her. Did it a little longer, follow her around, kept doing it. But again, that's just the game. You want to talk, you got to be able to take it. And Caitlin was taking it. She, even after the game, said she was fine with that. That's just a part of it. Immediately, journalists, bloggers calling Angel disgusting. She's trash. She should be ashamed of herself. That's not how women should play. It should be about sportsmanship. Caitlin would never. There became a huge discrepancy between the way people were covering Caitlin's behavior and the way that people were covering Angel's behavior. People didn't even acknowledge the fact that Caitlin did the exact same thing. And when they did and were called out about it, they then said something like, "She didn't do it as long and it wasn't the same." Now, if you saw those two girls doing that same exact thing and you categorize or it affects you in two different ways, the only reason to be able to determine what was the difference, one was black and one was white. One was white. Let's stop playing this little game. And I say that because I've worked in news. Now, I didn't work in news for a long time, but I was in the business. I've also worked in podcasting. I've also been a blogger. Hell, in my early days, I used to ghostwrite articles for BuzzFeed in like 2012, 2013, 2014, back when they were trying to build up their site and doing like funny comedian based articles written by contributors. I was doing that for a while. So I've been in the space. And this idea that these journalists and people, delivering this news and this feedback are unaware of their bias, that's a lie. They know they bias. It's the same way we be out here saying we gonna root for everybody black. They do the same thing. The difference is they forget or try to act like they don't notice that they are in a power. There's a power dynamic because they are of the privileged class in this country. They be trying to act like they be putting on like they. If I say that I'm not aware of it, they gonna believe me. But don't fool yourself. They know they be doing. They know that. They know it's bigoted. They know it's biased reporting. They know the way they covering Caitlin is different from the way they cover Angel. The difference is they don't give a shit. They don't care. One way to really prove that, they don't stop. They don't change. The way that they report on black people versus white people, there's no adjustments. They just get back to business as usual. Why? Because they know they doing it. And they know it ain't nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can do about them being bigoted in the media. So with that said, we as people, the consumers, continue to hold the line and continue to call their asses out. Keep putting them on blast. And if you were on Twitter or Facebook or any platform today, you saw it happening in real time. Angel Reese has been going viral for her statements and people have been coming to her defense. Not that she needed, because listen, Angel got big balls. She was on, go to her Twitter. She don't give a F. And I love it. These black girls are standing in their power and who they are. And that's what I want to see. But people been coming to their defense all day. And that's what we need to do. If people going to keep trying to play these little dog whistles and act like they don't notice what they're doing, we just going to keep throwing it in their faces. People been hitting them up with the "this you" tweets all day. Love to see it. Now, this goes alongside of what Coach Staley, is it Dawn Staley or Dawn Staley? I'm ashamed that I don't know how to pronounce that woman's last name, but we're going to call her Coach Dawn for the sake of this conversation. This goes along with what Coach Dawn had to say after her team, South Carolina, lost to Iowa, the team that LSU ended up whooping on. Basically, at the press conference, she was saying something to the effect of, "The way y'all cover us and my girls and our team, I hear the word gets back to me about the way y'all be talking about us and way y'all be talking about black women is getting back to me. I hear it. And y'all need to make the adjustment because I see y'all and I see what y'all been doing." One quote she said, and I don't know if it was directly when she was doing the after game press conference, but one quote that I saw, it said something to the effect that this was per Coach Dawn. "We're not bar fighters. We're not thugs. We're not monkeys. We're not street fighters. This team exemplifies how you need to approach basketball on the court and off the court. And I do think that's sometimes bought into the game and it hurts." Again, the fact that she had to get up on there after the game that they lost, devastating loss, and then have to address the news outlets and the journalists and the commentators in that room because of how they've been talking about this team for the last few years and just talk about black athletes in general, you would think that they would be ashamed of themselves. At least when I get called out, when I personally, Kenelia, get called out on some BS and I know I've been on that BS, I do feel a way. I'll be like, dang, they got me on some BS. I need to get my mind right. Ooh, gosh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I made you feel a way. Nope, not them. They're going to keep doing it because there is no consequence. So again, I say that to say for us, we just going to have to stay on their necks. We know how the game goes. We just going to have to stay on their necks and understand once we get into the posture of knowing people be doing this on purpose with no remorse, then we will be able to better adjust and to approach the situation and handle it. Now, in regards to going back a little bit about Angel Reese, this was one of her quotes, and I love this because, again, it speaks to this idea of the reaction towards her versus towards Caitlin Clark. She said, "All year I was critiqued for who I was. I didn't fit the narrative. I don't fit the box that y'all want me to be in. I'm too hood. I'm too ghetto. Y'all told me that all year. But when other people do it, y'all don't say nothing." So this is for the girls that look like me, for those that want to speak up for what they believe in. It's unapologetically you. And that's what I did. That's what I did it for tonight. It was bigger than me tonight. And Twitter is going to go into a rage every time. And I'm happy. I feel like I've helped grow women's basketball this year. I'm looking forward to celebrating and then next year. Well said. Because they was out here talking about her all season. Now, while I don't follow the sport, I do follow current topics. And I have seen her name floating around throughout the year about how good she is at the game. Even just how she dressed. She's the athlete, the one who be on the court with the one full pants leg under the shorts and the other one be like a booty short. I'm talking about she got her style going and everything. Her eyelashes be on. She be hooping and lashes. We ain't seen nothing like this. I take that back. When Cheryl Swoops and them was on there, they used to be full lipstick on. So I don't even want to hear it. They was out there looking cute. But this new group of girls, they ain't playing with y'all. Okay? They coming with that style. They coming with that attitude. They not taking no shit, and I love it. Y'all got a new fan of me. I might even get me some WNBA tickets. Listen, I might be at start going to the WNBA games. I love the game. I don't watch like I used to, but I used to love the game. Y'all know I used to hoop up till like the 9th, 10th grade, and only reason I quit is because I sucked at basketball. But I looked hard in my outfit though. I looked hard in my basketball jersey, and that's what kept me engaged, you know? So I might just start going to these games because I really want to support these women. I love it. Now, in regards to what is really working my nerves, ain't working my nerves more than this, but it's adjacent. People kept saying that you can't see me thing that John Cena was doing, that Caitlyn did, and then Angel was doing. They kept associating that with John Cena, and it was really burning my bridges because, if I'm not mistaken, Tony Yayo was the first one to be out here doing that. When he was in the 50 Cent video, when G-Unit was taking over for the 2000s, Tony Yayo was the one who started that. So here come John Cena, I'm assuming, with the colonials, the colonization of Tony Yayo's signature move. And that's what we should be talking about and focusing on. Okay. How we let John Cena take Tony's move and Tony not even saying nothing. I think we need to shift the conversation. Yes, we need to stay on the neck of the media, but also we need to get Tony his just due, because that belongs to that brother, not John. Hit me up with your thoughts about that and the Angel Reese versus Caitlin Clark incident. I won't even call it an incident. It's just two hoopers out there hooping. That's just the game. You don't like the game? I don't know what to tell you. You're on the sideline. You should have did better in school and got you a private coach. Got you on the AAU team. Did a little better. Hopefully, maybe got you a scholarship and then you could talk to. But what y'all think about all of this? Hit me up on social media with your thoughts. Now, for some reason, I'm just not really versed in what's going on between Escape and SWV. And I think it's because I don't watch the reality show. So there was all of this drama going on and I was seeing it and scrolling past it on social media. And because I wasn't actively watching, I didn't realize how big of a deal this whole conversation was, which is why I recently just realized I hadn't talked about it on Black News, because I wasn't actively participating in the feedback. Now, I'm going to participate now because, again, something clicked and I was like, oh, shoot, why haven't I talked about this? This is crazy. Now, again, saying this, I'm not really versed in this. I have not caught up on the show. I just been doing some high level scrolling and I'm probably not going to get to watch the reality show until I finish catching up on Snowfall, because I can't toggle between the two. I don't got a lot of free time during the day and the evenings. I catch up on my shows in the late night hour and I just can't do both. So once I get finished with Snowfall, I'm going to go and watch this SWV Escape reality show. But it's going to take a while. And by the time I do that, we going to be over this. So for the sake of Black News, this is the information that I've gathered. Allegedly, I'm going to say that because this is what I saw. Allegedly. It started where apparently and allegedly LaTosha and her husband stole $30,000 from Tamika, LaTosha's sister. Now, if you know Escape or you're not really familiar about with who's who, you got Candy. We know Candy. Tiny. We know Tiny. Also T.I.'s wife. You got LaTosha, the one that be doing all the runs and who was always doing this, them little runs. Then you got Tamika, her sister. And let me add a side note. Escape was one of my favorite groups back in the day. I really related to them. The styling, the shades, the big pants, the jerseys. I was all about that night, them 90s fits and that whole 90s vibe. And they came right on time for me. You talking about looking up to some singing girl groups? They was one of my ones. Keeping on. Apparently, there was a $30,000 check that was sent to group members. Somehow it got intercepted by LaTosha and her husband. And one of them is starting to look more like their husband. The husband allegedly forged the signature and got the check deposited into their account. Now, I think this was like 10 years ago. I don't think this was my most recent, but all of the tea came out on this reality show. Tiny helped, I think, if again, I'm assuming Tiny helped Tamika piece it all together. And so they actually had the receipts. All of them have talked about this on the internet, on a post reality show at some point. Candy, Tamika, Tiny Mama. I'm talking about everybody was dropping the tea, while Latasha and her husband are still saying they had nothing to do with it. But the way everybody making it sound, something happened was revealed to the point where people were like, yes, you did. You took that money. Now, simultaneously, this reality show is with Escape and SWV, but Escape and this drama has been dominating the conversation. Also, simultaneously, Latasha was apparently supposed to be launching her gospel solo career, and the career ain't career in the way I think she assumed, especially giving this level of drama. Now, because I'm not going to be assuming, I'm just thinking out loud here. If you're going to try to sing to the church people, I don't think you can be accused of thievery. I don't think that's going to go over with the church crowd. Like, allegedly. Okay. So all of this was going on. I saw a quick couple seconds on social media where Latasha was crying and apologizing for her part in this. It still doesn't sound like she said she took the money, but the internet says she took the money. So that's what they said. Now, putting a pin in that, there was also discussion during the show and on social media about who should be headlining a concert with Escape and SWV, which is very interesting to me because both of those girl groups, when it comes to Black R&B singers and groups, they up there, especially in the 90s. What? But they had, to me, different fan bases, or they had the same fan bases, but the fan bases were attached to them at different times of their lives and different and during different ages. And now people are coming to the shows for different reasons. So, example, Escape's fan base. While there are people who are loyal Escape fans, most recently they got a bigger fan base because Candy has been on Housewives of Atlanta for years. And then Tiny also had her own reality show and is T.I.'s wife. So a lot of fans, possible ticket buyers, may be coming for them. Now SWV, they considered classic 90s R&B group. So they got a loyal fan base as well. So either one could headline and both have claims to that title. But it sounds like they originally went into this venture thinking that they would co-headline. So what that means is it can mean either one group starts, they do their performance, and then once they're about to wrap up, the other group comes out, they both do medleys together. Then the group that was on stage first, they then leave and the other comes, other like kind of does their full set. And at the end, they do like one or two songs together to wrap it up. When I went to years ago, when Jay-Z and Mary J. Blige did the Heart of the City tour, they co-headlined. They did that same thing. Mary started off, she did her songs. Midway through, Jay-Z came out and did, I believe it probably was like Heart of the City. Midway through her set, he left again. She did some more stuff, finished up. He came back out. They did one song or two songs together. She then left and then he finished off and did his full show. It's possible and it works if you have two acts who are down with that. But it sounds like something happened along the way where that may not have been the case. But the other question is, who between Escape and SWV do you think had more impact? Now, personally, I don't think the two groups were in the same demo in regards to like timing. And that's just in my opinion, because when you think about it, SWV came out like early 90s when they were on the Above the Rim soundtrack, and they had their initial run before they got to Rain and that era of SWV when they started working with Missy. Before that, they were in around the time when TLC Ain't Too Proud to Beg first jumped off, when En Vogue was on the scene, Brownstone, Jade, Zane, Changing Faces, even Moke and Steph, they were around during that reign. Then it kind of stacked. TLC hit their like second wave where they kind of had a resurgence. Crazy Sexy Cool, and then Fan Mail. Then you had Escape, Total, Black, 702. So, and then after that, you kind of had that like that last wave that kind of, it was like Destiny's Child. Then it was a little while longer. Then Danity came, and then girl groups were gone. You could throw the Cheetah Girls and all of them in there, but I was older than them. I had a car and a job at the mall by the time it was out. So I didn't really listen to them, but we can throw them in there somewhere. I would say maybe around, you know, the Destiny's Child era. Not as far as Clout, maybe Clout, because they had a big fan base, but for timing. So when you ask who has more impact, it probably depends on where you were in that timeline. If you weren't young when SWV came out, you probably were like, who? If TLC wasn't popping for you, you probably like, I don't understand. So the answer could depend on maybe somebody wasn't even on that in general, but they watched Candy on The Real Housewives and they like, yeah, we gonna go with Escape. All very valid. Personally, for me, while I connected with both and I love both, Escape was more relatable to me as a girl growing up in Flint and just aesthetic and content. And they were closer in my age than SWV, because SWV, when I was in elementary school, they were like 18. But I was singing the hell out of Week, me and my homegirls in middle school, elementary school, middle school. So I relate more to them, but that doesn't mean that I think they're the better group. Who you relate to and who you kind of have a more personal connection with ain't got nothing to do with the other one. So I can't answer the question about who I think had more impact. I think they're both fantastic and I would love for them to work whatever it is that they need to work out. And if the show, I haven't looked at tour dates, but y'all know I'll be loving me some old R&B. So if they come to LA, I might be in the building. Okay. I might go. And based on that lineup, they probably gonna have Charlie Wilson too. Cause you know, if you're going to have R&B concert, Charlie Wilson be squeebed up a dee dwee dween all over the country. So I'm gonna check it out, and if I go, I'm gonna let y'all know how it went. But I need y'all to answer the question: who do y'all think had more impact, SWV or Escape? Then second question: who do you prefer and who did you connect with more, SWV or Escape? Hit me up on social media with your thoughts. If y'all haven't already, I need y'all to start watching this season of Love is Blind, because they got like 4 black people on there and we got to be tuned in. Y'all, it ain't often where these dating shows, these reality shows, be having black contestants that are relatable and pick black people as their matches. It don't be happening. So the fact that I personally feel like there is a relatable couple, even if it's one on this season of Love is Blind, I need us all to tune in so we can watch together. Particularly, we're talking about Tiffany and Brett. Now, this season, they're picking couples who from like the Northwest. So that Portland, Seattle area. But Tiffany and Brett in particular, they match in the pods. Relatable. Our girl Tiffany, she probably like age 36 or 37 or something around there. Child, she done fell asleep on Brett while they were even in the pod. She had a little Casamigos. She got under the blanket, lay down, and it was a wrap. Relatable content, because if y'all know, once you hit a certain age, you turn the heat on, give me a blanket. And I had a little of the hard liquor in me? That Casamigos puts you down. Trust. I've done the legwork. I know what it does. But immediately I was like, oh, this gonna be a good watch. Mainly because they like regular, like non-outwardly toxic people, which I love. Cause y'all already know on Love is Blind, it be the raggediest of the raggedy, okay? But I have faith in that couple. There's also a black boy that it seems really nice, Marshall. He is dating Jackie. I don't know what Jackie presents as or what she identifies as, but those two are on the rocks. And while it's sad, it is very entertaining. And then you got Kwame, another black man who seems to have pissed everyone off, including myself, because he's just been underwhelming in every way. So y'all tune in so we can watch together as a family. I be on Twitter talking about the show whenever they drop new episodes. So please join me and find me over there. I'm at Kanelia on Twitter and we can chat back and forth about it. But it's almost coming to an end. I believe 7 or 8 are already available. You got time to catch up because the new ones are coming soon. So once you catch up, hit me up and let me know your thoughts about it. Again, I'm at Kanelia, in this case, specifically on Twitter. On this week's episode, we talked about the women's NCAA championship game where LSU beat Iowa, but the internet backlash against in-game reactions by Angel Reese versus Caitlin Clark. We also talked about the drama between Escape and SWV, but more so the drama between the two sisters of the group, Latasha and Tamika, over alleged stolen funds. Then I did a quick call out to see who all was watching Love is Blind, and I'm leading everybody over to Twitter to talk about it with me once you guys have caught up. Hit me up and let me know what you thought about all these topics or none, and I'll check back with you guys next time. That's it for this week's episode of Black News, y'all. Thanks again. Thank you. And thank you again so much for sticking with us, supporting the podcast, liking and subscribing on all apps where podcasts can be heard, rating 5 stars and leaving a comment. It helps more than you know. So I really, really appreciate it. And keep sharing Black News with all of your friends and family. Be sure to hit me up on social media if you got ideas for topics. Or just hit me up in general to let me know you've been listening. Let me know your thoughts. I'm at Kanelia on all platforms across the board. That's at Kanelia, like Kenny and Ophelia. Also check my website. I got some shows coming up in a Los Angeles County. Hopefully get on the road soon. But for now, if you're in the LA area, hit me up. Check Kanelia.com for show dates and details. And as always, thanks again so much, guys. I hope you have a fantastic week. Keep supporting, keep growing, keep building, keep staying safe, and keep staying healthy. As always, again, I'll see you back here next time, same time, same place. Bye.